We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494 is how you get aboard here on this Football Friday, which was supposed to be a Baseball Friday, which has kind of turned into one anyway because I said I didn't want the Phillies to make the playoffs and everyone's all upset about that. But it's a Football and a Baseball Friday. Phillies rained out tonight. They won the first game of this doubleheader. It was supposed to be a doubleheader behind Bailey Falter, who really has saved their season. The Phillies would be sunk without Bailey Falter, which, like, imagine saying that in April. Like, they spent record payroll. They have all these, you know, players that have been all-stars or stars or whatever, high-profile guys. Bailey Falter the key.
Yeah, but isn't that how baseball works?
It is.
Right? Like, go back to 2010, 2011. A lot of people tell you Wilson Valdez is one of the most important people on that team. And part of that is why the Phillies have struggled despite having so many high-profile guys. They haven't had the depth pieces who can help out in a pinch.
Well, and then even pitchers during that time, right? The Jay Happ, when he came up, Vance Worley. I mean, this happens. I mean,
remember Rudy Cianis?
Ah, can I forget Rudy Cianis? I mean, this is now the first time I've thought of Rudy Cianis in a very long time. I'm trying to remember Rudy Cianis, I remember as an A, maybe a red at some point. How many teams do you think Rudy Cianis played for? One night we should do things where Tucker would
throw. Wow, he played a lot of plays.
I feel like he had to be a red and an A, right? Was he an A at any point? Was a Dodger
no.
at some? No. Was he a Dodger?
He was a Dodger for 3 years. He played for 9 teams over 19 seasons.
But not a Ray or not a red or an A?
No. Braves, Padres, Dodgers, Indians, or Guardians,
Marlin?
Red Sox, Royals, Phillies, Rangers, Marlins.
Wow. Rudy Cianis. What did he end his career with? What kind of an ERA sport there? Four something?
He was 41-30. With a 4.1 ERA.
Oh, that's perfect. 4-1.
Over 17 seasons, he got 41 wins.
I mean, how about that? And 12 saves. I found his page here. 544 appearances. All right, speaking of, I don't know, I was going to try to transition from Rudy Cianis.
I've often heard Bob Wankel be called the Rudy Cianis of Phillies beat reporters.
There it is. There's the transition. Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad joins us here. Hey, Bob.
Joe, what's up, man? How are you?
They're just talking about Rudy Cianis on a Friday night. Now, we're doing well, and the Phillies at least are alive, because that series at Chicago, I think, I didn't know if I was going to make it out alive. Bob, they win today behind Bailey Falter. Let's just start with him, because I was just saying it before we put you on. They'd be sunk without Bailey Falter. It's amazing how many big moments he's had and come up big for them in these spots where they need a win.
Yeah, he came through today. I mean, this team really needed a jolt. You saw offensively again. I know that Rhys Hoskins gets them the run early, but they missed some opportunities to score. And if they don't get that start from him this afternoon, they probably don't win that game, and everybody's just slamming the panic button tonight. So it was a win that they desperately needed, not just from a mathematical standpoint or a morale standpoint. I just think they had to stop the bleeding, and hopefully for their sake, for the fans' sake here, and I know they've had a rough week, that gets them going in the right direction a little bit.
Bob, what do you think the problem is? It's five Septembers in a row, and this one's not over. They, you know, theoretically, they could rebound here and finish strong the last six games and make the playoffs, but it's 5 years in a row where September is a disaster. I heard Scott Fransky, the broadcast today, say that four of the last 5 years they've had a six or more game losing streak on the road, and all of those have been in September. It's Groundhog Day. What if you had to try to put your finger on why? Because it's three managers now. It's multiple GMs. What do you think this is?
Yeah, you just made the point. I mean, Gabe Kapler, Joe Girardi, Rob Thompson. So you can't pin it on the manager. So you look at the players, and I think that these guys are sort of wearing this now. You know, they're aware of the past failures. They know that the table is set for them. They know that they have a better team than Milwaukee. I mean, I think the Phillies objectively are better than Milwaukee. And I think that they feel the pressure. And I think when you feel the pressure, you tend to press. You tend to know, hey, there are runners in scoring position. We need this. I got to bear down. And things just kind of snowball against you. And I think that that's what we're seeing. The difference this year from previous years is that I actually think that this team is pretty good. You know, when we've watched these September collapses in the past, I've said, you know, these teams just really aren't that good. They're super top heavy. They don't have that fringe of the roster production, but they've gotten meaningful contributions from Bailey Falter, from guys like Nick Maton and Edmundo Sosa, and Matt Vierling's contributed at different points. Like, they've gotten those contributions to get them to the doorstep. And so now it's time for these core guys to kick it down. And if they don't, I think that we're sitting here a week from now talking about how there's a loser DNA in the core of this team. I think that that's been speculated and talked about for a few years now. And I don't know that that's entirely fair. But, I mean, there's a handful of games left for this group to kind of prove that that's not the case.
There has been. And unfortunately, they haven't done it, especially the Cubs series, where it was a disaster for 3 days against a Cubs team that's not any good, or at least not good enough that they should be sweeping the Phillies. Bob Wankel joining us here from Crossing Broad. Bob, this is a short-term question, but it's also a bigger picture. Every time they struggle, we get calls here saying that Kyle Schwarber shouldn't hit leadoff, that Reese Hoskins shouldn't hit second. And I don't know if I necessarily disagree, but I always respond with, well, who should? Like, who is a better option? Do you think they should change the lineup up? I mean, I don't think that Tom's actually going to do it with 6 days to go, but do you think they should? And if they did, who should hit up there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you kind of nailed it here. It's if not Kyle Schwarber and if not Reese Hoskins, and I get it, but then who? And Reese Hoskins, listen, I've been fairly critical of him over the last number of years. Just not a what I would call a winning player. Has not demonstrated the ability to be a consistent winning player in big spots. Doesn't mean that he can't do it. Doesn't mean that he won't do it. But he hasn't consistently done it. But you look at his September numbers and comparatively to some of the other guys in this lineup, you know, you say, okay, like, he actually looks pretty good when you look at the numbers. Kyle Schwarber's been tough to watch. He was really bad today. He really hurt them in a number of spots, and he had a couple tough at bats in big spots against the Cubs. But I think that the issue is there is nobody that you can point to and say, okay, this is a good fit. I mean, Gene Segura has not been very good during the month of September. Bryson Stott was the guy that you kind of thought for a while as we got into the back end of August. You said, well, you know, maybe this kid's really turned the corner. Maybe he can handle this right now. But you've seen how he's performed here in September. So I don't think that there's an easy fix. And I think that Rob Thompson, as you kind of pointed to, is going to ride out what he has, you know, what he's written to this point.
Bob, let's talk about Rob Thompson. You know, I think 3 weeks ago, he couldn't have had a higher, you know, rating here among the fan base with the job he had done, the turnaround after Joe Girardi was fired. Phillies look like in prime position to make the playoffs. Obviously, things have gone the other way now. And I think for the most part, he didn't get criticized for that as they lost some of those games against the Braves and whatever. But then he had the comment yesterday, I'm sure you saw it, about just being calm and having fun. And everyone freaked out and melted down. What do you think about Thompson? It feels like he's Mr. Calm, and I don't think he wants a waiver from that. Maybe he laid it on a little thick with the "we're just trying to have some fun here." But what do you think about Thompson, that quote, and what the job he's doing right now?
I certainly understand why that annoys Phillies fans. That's not what they want to hear after they watch the Phillies lose last Sunday, go to Chicago, fall apart against a team that they should beat up on. So I get the frustration, but I think that Rob Thompson has cultivated a very good relationship and very good clubhouse dynamics over the last few months. And I think if he comes out and he wavers now, I think players probably raise an eyebrow. And I don't think in a positive way. I don't say, oh, wow, Rob's really, you know, he's giving it to the media for the first time. He's really angry at us. You know, I don't think that they'd look at it that way. I think they'd almost view it as a panic button. So if you're Rob Thompson, I think you kind of have to stay the course and sort of be true to your messaging. Overall, I think if he or the Phillies don't make the postseason, they're going to have some things to think about. I mean, I know that this clubhouse likes him. He's done a great job. I mean, I know that things have really kind of taken a turn here over the last 2 weeks especially, but there's still 20 games over 500 since he took over a team that looked like they were dead in the water at the end of May. So I don't know how you can sit here and say that he hasn't done a good job or if they missed the playoffs, it's his fault. But I do think that the Phillies, from a bigger picture standpoint, if they don't make the postseason, and this is not new to the Phillies, but they're going to have a little bit of a perception problem. I think that they're kind of trending in a way that we used to watch the Eagles back in the early 2000s. And for different reasons. The Eagles would always make the postseason, but you almost couldn't enjoy regular season success because you knew that they were going to get to the playoffs and you weren't sure if they were finally going to break through and you know, get to or win a Super Bowl. For this Phillies team, it's like, you know, next September, if the Phillies are playing at a 92-win pace the first week of September, I think they're going to have a hard time getting this fan base to buy in because they're going to say, we saw this for the last 4 years. So I think the Phillies will have to try to recalibrate and maybe reconfigure the roster, the presentation of the team, the voices that you hear on a day-to-day basis to try to reel in this fan base. I think it's going to be a big problem if they miss here.
I agree. Yeah, I think it will be too. Bob, I'm curious if you agree or not. I was making the point earlier that there might be more of a benefit to missing the playoffs than making it. And people disagree. They want to make it. I get it. But my worry is if they get in, they'll pop champagne. They'll say, we figured it out. We're winners now. And I just wonder if this is like, well, the Brewers just can't get out of their own way, and you kind of backed your way in the last 3 weeks. I would think if they miss again, what you said would have to slap them in the face. Like, they've got to make changes. They may have to break this core up. What do you think about that? Like, the benefit of making it versus maybe, like, you can't ignore it if you miss again.
Generally speaking, I agree with that. You know, that missing, if you don't feel that there's championship upside, it may be beneficial long-term to just simply miss because it forces an organization's hand a little bit. But I don't know that that applies. I don't know that it applies here. I still think that this is a team that simply just needs to make the playoffs to just give the fans something to kind of grab onto. But I think that this front office, and maybe I'm giving it too much credit. Maybe I'm about to give Dave Dombrowski too much credit. But I think that he's aware that this is a flawed team and that there's a little bit of a flawed core here. So now if they make a deep postseason run, they you know, get to the NLCS, they get to a World Series, that might change the way that they approach this offseason. But if the Phillies get in, they're playing playoff baseball next weekend, and they get quickly bounced. I just don't think that this front office is foolish enough to sit here and say, wow, look at that. We prevailed down the stretch. Let's run it back again. I think that they know they have issues. I think that they had to overspend this year to make the team competitive as they try to bridge to a new era. And I think that the plan will go unchanged regardless whether or not they get in. Like I said, if they make a run once there, that might change some of the planning, but I really don't think that just getting in is going to be detrimental to this team's long-term future.
All right, we'll end with two questions that I think I'll kind of replay in my mind the next 6 days as we watch these big games. Bob, if the Phillies have a game on the line, down a run, runner on second base, ninth inning over the next 6 days, which hitter would you most want at the plate?
That's a great question. I would just say based on recent performance and really the fact that they're even in this spot is probably largely in part to JT Realmuto. So I will say that. I know a lot of people will go with Bryce Harper, but I would take the guy that's been just better for longer right now and go JT.
Okay, second one, and I agree with you. I would go JT right now too because no one else is really inspiring any hope for me. The other one is, they have a lead through six. Starter is out. Final game of the season. Everyone in the bullpen is up. Like, they all could go. Give me the three pitchers you trust the most to get the final nine outs.
And I have everybody right now. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna use Zach Eflin probably in the seventh. I'm going to use – this is how I would do it. I would use Eflin in the seventh. I would use Dominguez in the eighth. He scares me right now in the ninth inning. You saw I threw the ball today, 36 pitches in the ninth. And I would use Jose Alvarado in the ninth inning, which is absolutely an unbelievable thing to say considering where he was at earlier this season, as late as May. But yeah, I mean, right now he's arguably one of the three best relief pitchers in baseball, so I don't know how you don't give him the last three outs.
Imagine if I went back in the past, Bob, and played this for you in June when Alvarado was in AAA, Eflin was hurt, and Realmuto had a 650 OPS. It would have sounded like a parody. Like you were just joking around with everybody. That's reality now. It's amazing how much it's changed.
Yeah, it's amazing. I read somebody tweeted this earlier. They're like, you know, it's amazing that that he goes down to AAA and someone just says, you should throw a cutter, and then it turned him into the best reliever in all of baseball. But, I mean, it's sort of been that simple for him. He's been consistently excellent. I think Scott Lauber had a note in his story after the game today. He struck out 20 of the last 40 batters that he's faced. I mean, pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Bob, we appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the next 6 days. I feel like it's going to tell the story maybe the next couple years of the Phillies. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
There he goes, Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad. So how about his choices there? I asked him, game on the line, next 6 days. Down a run, man on second base, ninth inning. You can only pick one Philly to be at the plate. He picked JT Realmuto. It's hard to argue with right now. He's been their best player for 2 months. Is it Realmuto?
I think so.
No one has a good strong answer on this.
Normally I would say Gene Segura. Because I think Gene Segura strikes out the least
puts the bat
on
the ball.
Team. He's yeah. come through in clutch yep. situations a lot, but he's also been struggling lately.
None of us, I asked him, I asked you, I haven't spoke up and said.
Is it Matt Vierling?
Yeah, you know what names
I come. Mundo Sosa?
Again, there's no Bryce Harper being brought up here.
No.
Yesterday, I was reading a story in The Athletic. They did a survey. 200 players were surveyed around baseball. Different questions, but all about the postseason, all about the October. And one of the questions was similar to the one I brought up, but it was World Series Game 7. You know, you're down ninth inning, and you could have any batter at the plate. And I think 20 something batters, position players, got multiple votes. Right, 200 total votes, but about a good group got multiple votes. And that could be, 10 votes, 5 votes, at least 2. None of those multiple votes went to Bryce Harper. And if you look at the list of players that got votes there, I mean, Stephen Kwan, a rookie for the Guardians that's never played in the playoffs, was on that list. Miguel Cabrera, who's 39 years old and hasn't been good in a long time, made that list. Bryce Harper didn't make that list. It's kind of remarkable when you think about it that Bryce Harper wasn't on that list. I'm pulling it up now so I could give you the names, the full names that are on there. But I was blown away. I was surprised, but I wasn't at the same time. I mean, so here's the question. Game 7 of the World Series, game on the line, who do you want at the plate? It's a perfect way to phrase it. So Aaron Judge got the most votes, of course. He's been the best player in baseball, best hitter this year. Paul Goldschmidt. Luis Araz, the infielder for the Twins, who might win a batting title. Mike Trout, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. Those are the top vote getters. I probably would vote Mookie Betts. If I the season's on the line, I probably would go with Betts. Austin Riley, Dansby Swanson, who just hit a home run off DeGrom in that Mets-Braves game. Jeff McNeil, Jose Altuve, that's a good one. Jose Ramirez, Juan Soto, Julio Rodriguez, who's 21 and never played in the playoffs. Manny Machado, Matt Olson, Miguel Cabrera, Rafael Devers, Otani, Stephen Kwan, Trey Turner, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Xander Bogaerts all got multiple votes. No, obviously no Phillies. It's part of the problem. No Phillies.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent on their roster. I don't think anybody's denying that, but there's something different when it comes to winning in September, when it comes to winning big games, when it comes to stepping up in moments that are, for lack of a better term, do-or-die situations. And I think we thought Kyle Schwarber might be that guy. He's still struggling. I think him being in the leadoff spot, as much as I'm fine with him being there, doesn't necessarily lend himself to being put in those situations.
No.
But you look across the lineup, I mean, the Phillies just have nobody right now who, in that situation, I feel confident, you know what? Send that guy up there, he'll get it done. Where if you want to compare it to the Phillies of a decade ago, I mean, maybe you didn't want Ryan Howard up there because he struck out a bunch, but Chase Utley was a high-contact guy. Shane Victorino, Jason Wirth.
Jason Wirth got a ton of big hits.
Like, Pedro Feliz was the one who knocked in the game-winning run in the 08 World Series.
So that I'm glad you brought that up, those teams. If this survey was done, and maybe someone, Jason Stark did this survey, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. If this survey was done 15 years ago, 07, 08, around that range, how many Phillies would have been on a list like that? I say at least 2 or 3. Utley, Howard. I mean, those were two of the better players in all of baseball. And I think Jason Wirth, whenever we decide he became established as a clutch hitter, he would have been on that list. They would have had 3 on a list like that 15 years ago. They have 0.
Yeah, and maybe it's a little revisionist history because we're looking back with kind of rose-colored glasses,
right?
Because they won the World Series. But Yeah, I mean, you look at that lineup 1 through 8, outside of maybe Rollins, who did strike out a lot, especially by that time in his career, and Howard, who obviously struck out 200 times a year, but he did have a game-winning hit against Colorado in the NLDS and won NLCF MVP that year. Their entire lineup, you would feel confident about coming through. I mean, Carlos Ruiz had over 300 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Shane Victorino had a couple big hits. Jason Wirth, which is an unbelievable contact hitter, was incredibly consistent. I mean, 1 through 8, they had the ability to put the ball in play, and you can't say that about this team.
Well,
and that might just be baseball now, but it's certainly an issue.
Yeah, and look, if the list that I read to you guys was just a list of players that play for the Dodgers the last 5 years or won the World Series, I think we can make the case like, well, you don't know till you know, right? The Phillies have to make the playoffs, then you no one's going to vote for them. That's not true. Rookies made the list. Players that have never played the postseason are on that list. I think it tells you something about the way they're viewed. So, you know, I am equal parts, like, on pins and needles, equal parts. I can't wait to see how they rewrite this story or continue to write this story. Because I do think this time next week or next Thursday, let's say next Thursday night, after the Phillies play a makeup game in Washington to either punch their ticket to the playoffs or miss out, isn't, like, the story of this group going to be written? I mean, if they miss out, I don't know if they can recover from this as a group. I really don't. They have to wear this. This is who they are for 5 years in a row. They don't make it. They don't come through. And this year, they're in an advantageous situation. They're up. They have a tiebreaker. They have a 6th playoff spot. Like, it's all there for them to finish this thing. It's all there. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop in. Curious how you come down on, do you want the Phillies to actually make the playoffs? I don't. I decided it last night. A win over the Nationals did not change my mind today. I mean, that Nationals team is garbage. I mean, they're a bad baseball team. And the Phillies have a lot of work to do to convince me that there's something different than they've been. And I just was so disappointed watching them play the Cubs this week because it was so bad. It looked lifeless. It looked listless. And I wonder who it's going to be that steps up over the next week or so, because there's going to be a moment. And maybe it's not this weekend because the Nationals stink, but it's going to be in Houston when they're down or the game's tied in the 8th inning. And it's like, who's going to get that hit to change this, their story, to change, you know, a team that has been nothing but disappointing for 5 years, and to make it work, to put him in October? Maybe it's JT Realmuto. He had a big day today, and he stole 3 bases. I remember the last time I watched a catcher steal 3 bases in a game. Today felt like the day he just wanted to get it over with, didn't it? He went in the first inning. He just wanted
Eric
to get
Fetty
it.
Fetty had no intentions of holding anybody on today.
No. The Phillies stole a lot of bases. Didn't Stott one have one later? It just felt like they were running at will.
Every time they got in a first and third situation, they took second.
The Nationals are bad. That is a bad baseball team. I don't know if any of those players will be on that team, except the Abrams kid who they traded for Soto. I don't know if any of them will be there 2 years.
No, they are. I don't want to say they're the worst baseball team I've ever seen, but I mean, they just are completely non-competitive.
Yeah, they have like 2015 Phillies vibes. Like, there's a lot of players on those teams. Like, the Phillies had, I bet if we go back through some of the names on those teams, like, who? And they didn't stick around for much longer in the major leagues. It's a bad, bad baseball team. Phillies tomorrow. So do we know the times of the game tomorrow? Is it 1-7?
So it's 1-7 tomorrow. However, if they're unable to complete one of the games, it'll be noon and 5 on Sunday.
Noon and 5? They can hide in the complete cloak of the Eagles on Sunday.
Yeah, so right now they're expected to play at 1:05 and 7:05 tomorrow. However, if they do not play 2 tomorrow, it'll be Sunday at noon and 5.
So what is the pitching now? Because they've, no matter what, Wheeler's got to pitch Sunday, right? That keeps
so
him on track.
Tomorrow is Gibson Syndergaard.
So are they keeping Gibson on turn? Like, does Gibson get the first game and Syndergaard just is like the floating, what, will you pitch when there's a game to pitch?
I guess that's what they're kind of expecting from him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Noah Syndergaard's ever been in this situation in his life. I mean, he was once an established star pitcher, and now he's become like, you're gonna pitch once every 10 days when we have a spot for you. It's weird.
Well, what's interesting is he's had a lot of games where he's just had long stretches in between starts. Like, even his first start here, didn't he have about 9 days off?
He did.
In between his last start with the Angels and his first start here?
He did. Hopefully he can respond well. I mean, they're going to need him to take down some innings, especially if it's a doubleheader.
This year he started 3 games on 7 days rest, 1 on 9 days rest, another on 10 days rest, and another on 12 days
rest. Well, maybe it's good. Maybe it's good for him, especially coming off the injury last year. 215-592-9494. All right, a lot to get into. NFL picks, guess the takes, and just for fun, we got to play a clip for you of Michael Irvin, I mean, completely losing his mind because of how much he's in on Jalen Hurts. You got to hear it. Well, I hit that next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.